This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And the shuttle finally made it up. When I'm not down there watching the shuttle launch, they took off right on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But they had heavy cloud cover.
Did you hear the latest this morning?
No.
They apparently have found of 7 areas on the bottom of the spaceship that were damaged by portions of the booster tank that came off. You know, they had that problem with the foam.
Yeah.
Apparently they were able to fix 6 gouges. There's a 7th one they haven't been able to figure out what to do with yet. Yeah.
That is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Netflix keeps growing to a behemoth operation. They now have 29% of the internet traffic. I'll give all the facts on Netflix. They're really taking off. You know, there's a big fight between Facebook and Google as they try to control social networking, and Facebook played some dirty politics. I didn't get to it last week, but we'll kind of review that again. I'll talk about some new developments in LED lighting. Marvell has a this is sort of a case of, you know, existing technology applied to something new that we can expect in the next 6 months or so. It's kind of an interesting thing. LinkedIn had their big IPO, and a lot of rich people, maybe it's overpriced. We'll sort of give a rundown on how that happened.
Rich people getting richer, right?
Oh, that's right. And today we're going to talk about, in Profiles in IT, the Chinese couple who started Linksys. You know, Linksys is the Wi-Fi routers that you can buy for home networking.
Mm-hmm.
A couple from Taiwan started Linksys in their garage.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. And it was a very heavy mailbag, so now...
Oh, I can tell.
It is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
You know, he's been on his game the past few weeks.
He has really
been on it. Since you've been back, I think somebody in management had a talk with him.
I think he needed some kind of disciplinary action.
Smacking around.
Yeah. We have an email from a Bethesda listener. Dear Dr. Schertz, I'm looking for a therapist. This must be one of the...
Are you Dr. Laura over there all
of
a sudden?
No, I'm not the therapist.
Oh, okay.
No, let's get through this thing here.
Okay.
And I hope that it's not that Tech Talk has driven them to therapy.
No.
But they didn't really get into that.
Yeah.
Okay, I found this website where you can do a zip code search, and it displays the therapist in that zip code as a text file. And it's got their name, address, email address, all in a text file without any delimits between the fields, and each record is a different line, different paragraph. Now, I want to create one email that goes out to all of these therapists because I want to ask them about their hours and their rates. I want to get a bid. Now, I'm trying to cut and paste these email addresses and put them into the to field, but it didn't work out too well because after the line got full, I couldn't put in any more. Do you have any suggestions, Bethesda listener? Well, first of all, Bethesda listener, when you send to a list of people, do not put the list in the to field. Put it in the BCC field, blind CC field, so everybody doesn't see the list.
Right.
And then in the to field, just send the email to yourself.
Right.
That way, all the emails that you're sending to are hidden, and there's a reason that you want to hide them, because it makes them hidden not only from the recipients, but also from any spam bots that might happen to reside on their computer, because spam bots get the email addresses for spam, return email addresses for spam, or email addresses to send spam to from these lists. So I always prefer that people don't let my email address hang out in a big block group email.
Sure.
Now, when you put in the email addresses into the BCC list, what you want to do, you want to get all of the email addresses. You don't want to have the name and address. You just want the email addresses. You want them separated by a semicolon. Now, what is going to happen? You are going to fill that one line, but as you keep typing in, it will kind of scroll over. So it's really an unlimited field for adding more and more email addresses. So just, even though you came to the right side, just keep on typing, and the email addresses that you've put in will actually just keep scrolling adding. Over. Now, if you want, you could make a text file without any paragraph returns. Just make it one big, long text file with semicolons between the email address. And you could just paste that into the BCC field if you would want. And that would be a very good way to do it. And then you hopefully you'll get some good bids for a therapist. We got an email from Peggy, Dr. Schertz. I need to find... I lost some documents, some Word documents that I was working on at work, and I needed to find them, and I needed to look for any document that had in its name invoice, invoices, invoicing, or invoice. So I looked for invoice, I-N-V-O-I-C, and I found some of the documents, but I didn't find all of them. One of my documents that another employee knows was on the hard drive was not located anywhere. Why was that document not found? I've lost all faith in the search feature in Windows Explorer.
Oh,
Peggy.
My.
Okay, well, Peggy, I mean, actually, you can when you do searches, you can select which folders are searched. And so it may be that you're only searching the document folder, and it could be that you saved something or made a change in something that went into a temp folder, say if it was attached to an email. So you want to double check which folders are being searched. You can also select and search for a particular file type. So if these are Word documents, you could either search, and if it's like, you could search for DocX if it's the newest version of Word, or Doc, D-O-C, if it's an older version of Word. Now, another nice thing on a search, you can also search on a date range. So if you know that that particular document was edited on a certain, you know, and say Monday or Tuesday of last week, you could actually search for every single document in your hard drive that was altered Monday or Tuesday of last week with that particular extension. Then that way you don't have to, maybe it's misnamed, and you search for all subdirectories. So you actually have quite a bit of choices here. Chances are, if anything's in a temp folder, it's going to be excluded from the search, and so you want to sort of pin down where your items might be. But I if I'm looking for something and I just can't find it, I frequently will use the date range to find it. Good luck on finding your search lost files. I think the search feature is really quite good.
Yeah.
I would not say there's something wrong with the search feature. I'd say either the file's not there or you're searching in the wrong place.
I searched yesterday a couple times.
It worked
like
perfectly.
Yep.
Very good. I've got an email from Ken. Dear Tech Talk, please check out the Vonage Mobile to use in countries that you don't have a SIM card for. I just found out about this yesterday. Even if I do not have a Vonage account, you can use a free app on your smartphone to route calls through Vonage. I think the cost is less than you paid using your SIM card from India.
Wow. Somebody is maybe tipping you off to something you didn't know.
No, this won't work. I'm going to have to get to that. He also said, please spell the names of the people that you talk about, especially in profiles in IT. During the show, I searched for William Lee, W-I-A-M-L-E-E, which, of course, was not right because it is W-I-U-M-L-I-E. So he would have liked me to spell the name so he could search while we're actually talking.
Here's what I'll do. I'll write it down on a big cue card and hold it up to the camera for those watching on Home and Garden TV.
That is a very good
solution.
Yeah, that's a perfect solution. Now, the other thing is, so if it's prickly bad spelling, I think that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, after the show, of course, I post the entire outline to the internet, and you can see the show written in letters, so you can get the correct spelling from techtalkonline.com and just go to the particular show we have.
Plus, everything you ever wanted to know about these people, you're going to tell us.
And he finally had another comment. Please have somebody check your email during the show and notify you something relevant is coming in. A lot of people would probably like to volunteer to look stuff up for you during the show and without any pay. Thanks, Ken. Now, that's not a bad idea.
Because
Ken sent in an email in the show last week. Nobody answered it. And he called the phone last week and nobody answered it.
He called the 800 number?
Yeah, he called the 800 number, and it wasn't answered.
Or whatever we got.
Yeah, it wasn't answered. It wasn't answered. I'll get into that a little bit later. Let's go back to this Vonage deal.
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, if you forward it to your smartphone, if you use the phone in Costa Rica, you actually have to have a SIM card because you're actually on the phone line. I could take a voice over IP appliance down there with me. Vonage, you pay $29 a month. Now, I've got an UMA voice over IP system that I paid a couple hundred dollars for, but now I only pay $10 a month forever. Now, if I take my UMA device and we'll go to Costa Rica and hook it up to the internet, I could actually have my home phone ring in Costa Rica. It'd be perfect, but it's all predicated on you having internet access, which I did not have. So, and Vonage is just another voice over IP option. Now, actually, if I had internet access, I would have used Skype because I had my computer down there.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't have your computer.
No, I didn't have my computer. That's correct.
You're traveling light, man.
I was traveling light. I was trying to enjoy the week down there and just doing zip lining and sailing.
I'm glad you came back.
Yeah. I was doing research. I was looking for new campuses. This was a business, and I was actually checking cell phone coverage down there as part of my extensive business activities. Well, thanks for the suggestion, Ken, but I don't think that would have worked in my case. I got a second email from Ken. This time he's called KH.
There is a limit to the number of emails you can send, by the way.
I know. So he changed his name, but he said this was received during the show last week about the typewriter company. You've not discussed this yet. He wrote it during the show. But if you see this message, you can correct your story, because after the article that you have came out last week, they had an update that was corrected, and this company's not the last one making typewriters. I called during the show today to tell you this, but nobody answered. So Ken was trying to save me from making a huge mistake last week.
That's funny. I wonder what number he was calling, because I have the telephone screener thing up here, and nobody called. I don't know.
So
whatever.
So I think it's a good... Now, what I'm going to try to do is keep my cell phone... I get all the emails on my cell phone, so I'll just keep checing my cell phone in case any emails come in. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Ken, you were right. That story was updated the very next day. And actually, the company that I was talking about was the last typewriter company in India, not in the world. Now, in fact, there's a company called Swintech in Munachi, New Jersey, that's still selling typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they buy them from manufacturers in China, in Japan, and Indonesia. Now, their primary market is for defense agencies, courts, and government offices, and they have a huge contract with 43 correctional facilities to provide typewriters for inmates. Now, the typewriters they provide for the inmates are plastic case. They're a clear case, so the inmates can't hide contraband in them.
Interesting.
So... The guys up there at Swintech, they really took big objection to the last typewriter company, and they set out a press release. So they said, somebody invented the electric vacuum cleaner like in the early 1900s, but we're still using brooms. So they said somebody invented the computer, but we're still using typewriters. Ken, thanks for that correction, because we want to have absolutely the correct information on Tech Talk every week.
By the way, we are keeping an eye on the phones. So if you do call, we'll see you calling in.
We're gonna watch that like a hawk.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a letter from Alicia. Dear Tech Talk, I know the importance of strong passwords for online access to bank accounts, PayPal, email, etc. But what about my Windows login password? I mean, if there's no concern about somebody physically accessing my computer's keyboard to gain unwanted access, do I still have to use a complicated password, or do I even need a password? And how does a complex password prevent a remote hacker from accessing my PC? Thanks, Alicia. Well, let me talk about the Windows logon a bit. First of all, if somebody has physical access to your computer, they can always bypass the password. Even though the password is there and you've got a really strong password, you can basically put a CD into the computer and boot on the CD. And the CD, you can very easily download a program that will reset the admin password in the computer. You can do that very easily. You can actually even, boot up on a CD with an entirely different operating system, and you can have access to the whole hard drive and all the documents. So, in fact, if somebody has physical access to your computer, you don't really have security. It just is a password just keeps the honest people out. But the people that are really going to hack it, it doesn't keep them out. So probably if you were not hooked to the internet with remote access, you wouldn't necessarily have to have a strong password there. Now, you do need a strong strong password if you have remote access to your desktop using the Windows remote desktop. This allows people to log in from the internet to your computer, and actually they could log into your computer remotely. Now, because they're on the internet remotely logging in over the internet, they could actually have one of these bots, these automatic programs that keeps testing passwords, and they go through a whole dictionary of passwords, and they're able to hack most of your common passwords, and they could just keep working on you till they got in. So what I would advise you to do is, if you don't need remote access, just turn it off. Now, if you need remote access for one account, you should definitely turn off remote access for your admin login and any other accounts that don't need it. And then if you have remote access, make certain you've got a very strong password. Now, a safer way to do it, instead of through the Windows remote access, would be to access your computer using a VPN. But then you also need a strong password for the VPN. It doesn't sound like, Alicia, that you really have remote access, so I just make certain all remote access is turned off, and then you don't have to worry about it. Great email.
Yes, very good.
So I think we should take a small break.
You're right.
And then we'll come back for Profiles in IT.
Well, before we go, we are watching the phones. I swear we're watching the phones.
Uh-huh.
So if you call us, we'll take your call.
Okay.
The number to call is 866-936-9333. 866-936-9333. If you want to reach us online, it's techtalkonline.com, right, Doc? And that's how people can send you an email. Is that not correct?
They can send me an email at techtalk@stratford.edu.
Right.
techtalk@stratford.edu. If you want to go to the website to look at all the archives, go to techtalkonline.com.
And, of course, it's stratford.edu for everything you ever wanted to know about Stratford University. This is Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. Now we have a broader discussion of technology because Professor Bird is in the studio.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. By the way, I just wanted to come down. I know you guys are busy. It's your last show. It's your last show, and I just want to
our
thank
last
you for having
show?
Me. Last show before we...
It's the end of the world.
You know, it's the end of the world.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Obviously, you haven't made last-minute plans.
Well, hold it. It's the last show if we're going to heaven.
Well, that's true.
If we're hanging around for the end of the world, then we'll be here.
I know I'm going. I don't know about you two.
Yeah. If you're raptured, and I find that highly unlikely, may I have your Hawaiian shirt?
Yes, you certainly may.
Okay, thank you.
You certainly may.
Okay, if you're raptured, I want your iPhone.
Well, okay. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. I'm having a big day today. Since the last day, I'm going to chain smoke my way all the way to lunch. That's right. You know, I quit smoking 25 years ago, and if it's the last day, I think I'm going to light up today.
Why not?
Smoke it all the way, and with the windows rolled up, so that my car does have that nicotine
smell.
It
may be your last day.
It could be the last day.
Okay, anyway, probably.
You don't buy any of that stuff.
I think the big news though of the week is that Playboy has put all of their digital content online.
No.
And it's available on the iPod and the iPad.
You're kidding.
And they bypassed the Apple apps. Because what it is, Apple will not let you put an app that, you know, references that kind of content. So what they did, they made a website, iPlayboy.com, that's formatted exactly for the iPad. So you simply go to that site, and it's like you're using an application.
Doc, I appreciate the research you've done on this particular topic.
Now I didn't have to go to 7-Eleven anymore.
Did Mrs. Wonderful approve this research?
No, she didn't. But I was interested in how they bypassed the Apple censorship. But I'm only looking at the articles anyway.
Sure you are. Just like we were, right, Jim?
Yeah.
Read the article.
Well, huh?
Yeah, at 14, yeah. I'm going, Dad, what's this word mean? Yeah, okay. Just look at the pictures.
Where'd you get that?
Anyway.
So that is the big news. And since you're an Apple man, you used to have an iPad.
I gave it away, but
you gave it away. Maybe you better get it back now.
I'll make it two.
Oh, like, there you go.
Two.
I two.
Oh, iPad the
two. I two.
Okay.
I'm
illiterate.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Well, I have an iPod, and that's it.
You still have a Selectromatic from IBM.
I have a Wallensack at home.
Anyway, Doc, any big plans today?
No, not a thing. I'm just going to sit around and wait.
He's going to have a margarita and a lawn chair and wait for the earth to crack open.
Isn't it nice the sun's out today for the first time in, what, 6 months?
For the last day of your life.
God, it seems like the last day of your life, you got sunshine. Your short sleeve shirt collection is really to be admired, sir.
Well, thank you.
That is one heck of a collection. I'll let you boys get back to your work.
Okay, hey,
I'm
David
going
Bird.
Over the giant.
Thank
and
you.
Get to the salad
and if
board.
We don't see you, it's been nice knowing you.
It's been nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been great.
But that's all right. The doc got a way to figure out how to do that elevator of the sky thing.
That's right.
We'll
do the sky elevator.
Say goodbye to everybody.
Space elevator.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah. Say goodbye to everybody upstairs for me, okay?
Bye,
David. David Bird, everybody. Okay. Where were we? Is it time for?
It is time for.
Oh, wait a minute.
Mr. Big Voice.
Mr. Big Voice.
Mr. Big Voice.
Is in big trouble now. See?
Mr. Big Voice.
Rats. We are bringing the show to a crashing halt. It's time for this.
Profiles in.
Yeah.
You like that? See?
Janie.
I jinxed him.
And Victor Tsao. T-S-A-O.
And Janie, that's Victor Common
Janie
spelling,
and
right?
Victor Tsao. Janie and Victor Tsao co-founded Linksys. That's a company that produces home networking devices and also wireless routers. Victor Tsao was born in 1948 and Janie in 1951, both in Taiwan. They earned their degrees at the University of Tamkang in Taiwan. Victor got a BS in computer science. Janie earned a Bachelor of Arts degree. They met, and then they married in college. As soon as they graduated from college, they came to the U.S. in 1968.
How about that?
Now, this was back when the U.S. welcomed people that wanted to come here and start companies.
Mm-hmm.
And, develop our economy. For somehow, we've sort of shifted that whole thing. Now, after they arrived here, Victor earned a Master of Science in Computer Sciences from Illinois Institute of Technology. That was in 1980. He went on and got an MBA from Pepperdine University. Now, I know after he got out of his, after he finished his graduate school, he had a number of IT-related jobs. He worked with Santa Fe International, TRW, Kraft, Montgomery Wards. He was working as a business analyst or as a database manager. Then from 1985 to 1991... he worked as a director of MIS MIS and a strategic system for strategic systems development for Taco Bell. He was like a big IT guru at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Janie, she was a systems analyst at TRW and a systems manager for Carter Hawley Hale. Now, the fact is, they both dreamed of starting a company, and they were just trying to amass enough money and get enough ahead so they could start something out. So when Janie was 37 and Victor was 40, they decided to launch a company. And so since Victor had the biggest paycheck, he kept working for a while. So he kept working at Taco Bell.
They got free food too. So
he kept working at Taco Bell, and Janie quit, and they started the company called Dew International, DEW, Dew International, and they started it in their garage in Irvine, California. It was another garage started company. Now the new company connected American vendors with Taiwanese manufacturers. Because remember, Taiwan had this huge chip foundry over there, and so you could order custom-made chips in Taiwan. So a U.S. Vendor might have an idea for something. He'd go to Taiwan, have the chips made, come back, and he would sell the product. And so they were providing a linkage between U.S. companies and Taiwanese companies. And that was the beginning of their business. That was the concept, Dew International, DEW International. Then one of the manufacturers in Taiwan proposed an interesting idea. He found a way to connect multiple computers to multiple printers. See, back in the old days, you had these parallel ports, and you could only have a parallel port cable that could be no longer than 15 feet, and then you would hook your computer to your printer. And then if you want to hook another computer to that printer, it was very complicated. So this guy came up with a kind of a printer network device. And you just use telephone a wire, and then you could hook multiple computers to multiple printers. It was sort of like the AppleTalk network for Windows machines. And so they said, you know, this is a pretty good idea. So they decided to market that company, and since they were linking computers and printers together, they called their company Linksys.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the name from Dew International to Linksys. And they began marketing the product. Now, in 1991, Victor said, okay, I've had enough of Taco Bell. I'm going to quit. So he quit Taco Bell. And within 2 years, Linksys had moved twice, and they eventually moved out of the garage into a 2,000-square-foot office, and they were selling 8,000 multi-shares per month. A multi-share was this device for linking the computers and the printers. Now, Victor served as CEO and president and managed the operations and finances, and Janie handled sales in her job as vice president of business development. Now, in the early years, they invested a big $7,000 to get Linksys going.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only company that the only capital that the company actually required until it tapped a bank loan for one time only in 2001, and they paid off that loan in 6 months. Now, Linksys slowly expanded from the printer to PC connectors. Then they went into PC to PC Ethernet hubs, so they decided to get into that business. They were moving into kind of the home networking business. But, of course, in the beginning, it was complicated to network your computers with Windows, especially the Windows computers, Windows 3.1. But they kept, you know, chunking away at that. By 1994, the home networking revenue had grown to $6.5 million. Now, Victor was a workaholic. He worked 100 hours a week, and he'd take naps on the office floor.
Plus, he was working the line at Taco Bell, so, you know.
After 91, he didn't work Taco Bell. Now, this is the thing. Now, Victor drew no salary until the mid-90s. Now, he quit Taco Bell in 91, so he didn't draw a salary until around 95.
Mm.
And the couple and their two boys got by on the small salary that Janie drew from the company. They drew $2,000 a month. So they lived on about $24,000 a year.
Wow.
in the early 90s. Now, the big break occurred for Linksys when Microsoft moved from Windows 3.1 to Windows 95, because Windows 95 had networking built in. Before that, with Windows 3.1, you'd have to download special networking software in order to add the protocol stack onto Windows 3.1 so you could network. Once it was integrated into Windows 95, networking became extremely easy, and everybody wanted to network. So then Janie got the idea, why don't we sell our stuff? Instead of going through this black box, they were selling mostly through catalog sales, and they used this black box catalog. They said, why don't we try to break into the retail business? So she went to Fry's Electronics Store, and she actually convinced them to carry some of their products online. And then she went to a conference. She said, I need to get my products in Best Buy. Well, here you got this couple in a garage shop operation, a mom and pop operation. Best Buy just wouldn't even give them the time of day. But she knew the name of the buyer for Best Buy that was at the conference. And she found out the hotel room that he was in. And she went to his hotel room. I mean, with a group of people.
Okay.
This, like, this was purely... Don't give me that look, Jim. Don't give me that look, Jim.
I don't know where you're going with this stuff.
Don't give me that look, Jim. So he went to a hotel room.
I'm not giving
him any look. And she made an excellent presentation about their devices. And at that meeting, he agreed to buy $2 million worth of Linksys devices. And this was a huge breakthrough when they could finally get into Best Buy as such a small mom-and-pop operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, revenues doubled to $21.5 million in 1996, to $32 million in 97, and $65 million in 98. Then broadband came along, and there was another sharing opportunity because Victor realized that people are going to want to have multiple computers hooked to one internet connection. So you need a router. And you need a firewall. So this was a huge break for them. So they can, and at that time, routers and firewalls were basically used for businesses. And Cisco sold one for $500 for businesses. But there was nothing priced for the home network. So they came out with a $199 four-port router that had built into it an easily configured firewall. You could log onto a web page, you could configure the firewall. And that thing took off like gangbusters. The revenue went from $107.6 million to $206 million after they came out with that firewall. In 1999, Janie and Victor were named Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young for Orange County, California. And they were really on the way to really taking things off. Then in January 2001, another opportunity came along, Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi standards were actually codified in January of 2001. And that was, of course, called 802.11b. That was the actual name of the standard. And this defined a way where computers could communicate without wires. You didn't need Ethernet to link to the computers. You could actually communicate through the air using bandwidth that was available for home devices. And they launched a series of wireless routers and computer cards, and this just really took off because they had already established a name in the home networking business. And so people said, I've already been using Linksys routers, I got Linksys devices. So they thought getting a Linksys Wi-Fi router certainly made sense. Their revenues then jumped to $346 million a year, and they had 34% of the home networking market share. Then in December 2002, Victor took a big chance. Remember, this was when the high-speed Wi-Fi standard was coming out, 802.11g. And actually, they'd been working on it for about 6 months. And in December of 2002, it was still a draft. It hadn't been finalized. All the other home networking vendors were going to wait till the final specs came out. And Victor said, I don't want to wait. I want to get my device out before Christmas in 2002. So he went to his vendors and he went to his manufacturers in Taiwan, and they came up with, he actually went to Broadcom in Taiwan, and they figured out a way to put a lot of the configuration information in software. So if the standards changed between the draft and the final, they could simply upload a patch and then they could fix it. And with that design in place, they were locked and loaded. They started manufacturing devices. On December 24th, 2002, they launched their entire 802.11g standard. And as it turned out, The final standards were identical to the draft standards, and they beat all the other competition by 3 months. They sold 300,000 units in the first 2 months. And they were up, their sales had grown to almost $500 million a year. And then somebody noticed them. Cisco.
That would be somebody, wouldn't it?
They were market leaders. They had about 48% of the home networking market. Cisco, of course, was dominating in the business networking market. And also, Victor had come to a conclusion. He started thinking about this, and he said, I've got half of the market in U.S. and Canada, but actually, the market is worldwide. And he said, if I want to maintain any kind of competitive position, I'm going to have to compete globally. And he says, I don't have the money to do that. And so he talked to his advisors. They thought about doing an IPO. They thought about going to venture capital. And finally, they decided their best option was probably to sell out to a partner who had an international framework. So he had gone through this thinking process kind of independently of this. And at the same time, Cisco was watching this little company just growing like gangbusters, anticipating the market at each step of the way, and just getting the lion's share of the market. So it was like a marriage made in heaven, really. And so they started negotiating in the fall of 2002, and by March of 2003, they'd cut a deal. Cisco agreed to pay $500 million in stock for the company.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, is it? They started it in 1988, so that's 98, so that's 14 years of work from a garage, earning $24,000. Well, I don't know if she earned anything in the beginning, from a garage up to a $500 million paycheck. At the time they sold the company, they had 305 employees, and actually, They were always very frugal. After they held the sale, Victor would always go to the same restaurant. He would get like a $5 carryout dinner. So he signed the deal for $500 million, and he went back, got dinner, sat in his office with his $5 carryout, and had his normal meal, and they celebrated. And so there were two hardworking immigrants from Taiwan who really made good. Now, part of the deal is that Cisco agreed for them to stay on for 2 years because they wanted to provide sort of the framework and the leadership.
Yeah.
And Cisco also agreed to leave it as a standalone unit. You know, every time that Cisco buys a company, every other company, they just absorb it into the Cisco brand. They rebrand it. And part of the deal was they could not rebrand Linksys as Cisco. So now it's Linksys, standalone company, which is a Cisco subsidiary. And Janie and Victor stayed with that division for 2 years, and then Cisco sent them to China to help develop the Chinese market for Cisco. So there you go, Janie and Victor Tsao, the two Taiwanese immigrants who started Linksys. It is a great story of an American success.
I wonder how that whole stock option thing worked out for them, because a lot of things got devalued after 2002. So $500 million in stock.
See, the dot-com crash occurred in 2000. So this was after.
This is after the crash?
This was after the crash.
Well, they probably did okay.
Now, what would have killed them if they would have closed this deal in 1999 or 2000?
Then it would have been a mess.
Yeah, but this was after the crash, and Cisco, I think Cisco after the crash has been doing quite well. So
that's,
I think,
good.
They did okay. Now Victor, what he does now, he goes around and he's like what they call an angel, where he funds startup companies, mm-hmm. and that's what he's doing now most of the time. And he's probably invested in 40 or 50 companies. It's a great couple, hard worker. I really enjoyed studying what they had done.
That was a good story.
Yeah.
You know, if this is our last show before the rapture, I have to play this.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Papa's been a big part of this show.
Yes, indeed.
Really, since we've been together. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. The pop quiz is up next. The correct number to call is 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. We will be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, five of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
This is, of course, a classroom of the airways, not a radio show.
It's your place.
I know. It seems like a radio show, but then we teach so much broad-ranging content. All the way from wireless routers to Playboy. You really never know the spectrum of material
it's
that we cover.
It's like a shotgun blast.
It really is. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Janie and Victor Tsao. This is the Taiwanese couple that started Linksys. What was the name of their company before they changed it to Linksys? Now, this was the company that they started in 1988 in their garage in Irvine, California. What was that name? And then shortly thereafter, they changed it to Linksys. If you get the right answer, you'll get two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Now, let me give you a hint.
Yes.
The name of the company is not Playboy.
Gee, thanks for that hint. If you have the answer, you need to get it to us somehow. You can't give it to a carrier pigeon. You can't tie it to a rock and throw it through the studio window. We would frown upon that.
We don't want you to run by the windows with a sign either.
A sign or guys that have it grease painted to their chest. That's
no,
not good.
That is
you
not that appropriate.
You need to call this number, 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Yet, once again, that is 877-936-9333. 9333.
Or you can Skype us on Tech Talk Radio 1, and then that'll be forwarded right to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix has just been breaking all records these days. Netflix video streaming is now the single largest source of peak downstream internet traffic in the U.S., according to a report by Sandvine. The streaming video service now accounts for 29.7% of peak downstream traffic, up from 21% last fall. Now, this puts Netflix above all the other different types of traffic, like download traffic for websites, that would be HTTP, is 18% of the traffic. BitTorrent, which, of course, is for, you know, sharing MP3s, is only 11% of the download. YouTube is only 10% of the download, and Netflix, of course, is 29% of the download traffic. Real-time entertainment, now that includes both video as well as streaming music, accounts for 49% of all downstream traffic in March of 2011 versus 19% of peer-to-peer traffic. That would be with BitTorrent. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, and I'm going to profile Reed Hastings coming up in the future. He's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He points out that bandwidth to the home keeps increasing along with demand, and he expects gigabit Ethernet to the home to be commonplace within 10 years. So he's not worried about the fact that he's sucking up all the bandwidth of the internet. Now, the one good thing is that video to the home tends to be cached on the edge of the network. So they basically distribute the video on the edge of the network. So most of this video traffic does not travel over the backbone. It just comes directly to the home from the edge in kind of a distributed storage mechanism. So there you go with Netflix.
Okay. All right. I think we're let's do this now. We have the phones literally melted.
Okay.
But that happens when you give out the right number.
Yes.
Let's go to line number 232, and this is Richard calling from Adelphi, Maryland. Richard, good morning and welcome to Tech Talk. How are you? Doing well.
Morning, Richard. Earlier in the show, I talked about Janie and Victor Sal. They, of course, started Linksys. What was the name of their company before that Linksys name?
That would be DEW.
That is correct.
So, Dr. Schertz, he didn't win Taco Bell.
No,
but what did he win?
He doesn't win no Taco Bell, but you win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or at the Karim Dining Room down at Woodbridge. One is at Falls Church, one's at Woodbridge. And we'll be shortly opening a dining room down at our Richmond campus.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a sports bar. Is that what you're telling
me? We have a sports bar down there with a sports TV. Yeah, it's a full restaurant down
there.
That's
pretty cool.
It's pretty,
So, Richard, have you listened to us for long?
Yeah, so I'll catch you every Saturday morning on the way to work.
That's great. Well, we appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling. Hang on the line here, and we will get Andrew to take your information. And again, thank you for calling Tech Talk. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We will be back with more stuff right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Facebook has inspired an Israeli couple to name their baby Like. An Israeli couple have named their baby Like because they just love Facebook. You know, because you go to something on Facebook and you like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. I like that. So now you can like.
Great.
They were looking for a name that was modern and innovative. Facebook users can always like their friends' statuses, their pictures, and their posts. And so originality was a key to their choice. They actually did a Google search, and no one in Israel had ever named a baby Like.
There's probably a reason for that.
Now, Like is not alone within her family with unusual names. Both parents enjoy cooking, so they named one of their daughters Pie.
Great.
And they also named their other daughter Devash, which is Hebrew for honey. So you could say...
So they have a track history here.
So you could say Pie Like Honey.
Oh, no.
I don't know. When... Her father posted her picture on Facebook with the name. He got 40 likes for Like.
We like this.
That's right.
Oh, no.
The LinkedIn IPO took has just taken off. Now, the shares at LinkedIn opened at $83 on the New York Stock Exchange. I'll kind of give a rundown on this so you can just see how much money you missed out on. That was up 84% from the IPO price. See, what they do is they have an initial public offering price, and they've got a private group of people that can buy at that price before it goes public. And so the initial IPO price was $45, which was, you know, available the, you know, the day before. Then when it finally went public on the New York Stock Exchange, it opened at $83, up 84% in one day. Now, by the time that the market closed, they had gone up to $94, which is up 109% in just a day. At the end of that day, LinkedIn was worth $8.9 billion.
Good grief.
Now, I mean, their annual revenues are only about $300 million. So this seems to me like a little bit overpriced. Now, actually, there were only 7.84 million shares available on the block for sale. That's less than 10% of the outstanding shares. So they took the price of those 10% of the shares and then multiplied it by all the shares that were in the company to come up with that $8.9 billion. Now, this is reminiscent of when Netscape first issued their IPO in 1995. Everybody went wild with it going up. So now investors are thinking that since this IPO was so successful, it's going to be followed by a new flood of IPOs from companies like Groupon, Facebook, and Twitter. Skeptics are still there saying it's overvalued, and that is probably going to go down in value. So I think people are going to start selling it short to see what happens. Let's talk about
one more thing here before we take a break.
Yeah, let's talk about the Marvell chip design to improve LED quality.
Mm-hmm.
The semiconductor Marvell, this is not the comic company.
No,
This is the semiconductor company,
right.
Marvell. They announced a chip geared at improving the light from LED light bulbs. Now, the 8801 chip, it's small, about the size of a penny. It'll be about the same price of existing LED lighting electronics. Now the significant thing about this device is that it can control the current and temperature of two types of LED light sources. Like you could put a red and a white LED together, and by varying the current going to the two, you can adjust the color temperature. So you can make light that is very appealing by adjusting the color temperature, because if it's too white or too red, you don't want it. You want something in the middle. In addition, Marvell has put in another component, which is absolutely fantastic. They put a Wi-Fi radio in it, so you can control the light bulb wirelessly.
Wow, that's
pretty
good.
So you don't even need to have a switch, you see. So you could have these Wi-Fi controlled light bulbs in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could have a computer hooked to a Wi-Fi network, and you could control the lighting all over your whole house remotely.
This sounds like something that's right up your alley.
This, I think, is going to transform, you know, home entertainment, home lighting systems. This is a great development. I thought I would just, and here's a case where you just take an existing technology and apply it to something new. Now, last week, Google demonstrated a networked LED bulb controlled with its Android at Home software. So look for these kind of devices coming out over the next few months, and I'm going to probably play with some of those. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure, because you like your toys.
I like my toys.
That's
yes,
true.
And, no, I'm doing research for Tech Talk, Jim. These are not toys.
One of these days, I will get this straight.
These are not toys, Jim.
This is serious work. Serious business.
Yeah.
That's right. This is serious business. It is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio in Washington D.C. You can hear us on 1500 AM and 103.5 FM HD2. In the Northern Virginia suburbs, we're on 107.7 FM HD2. And north and west of the city, you can hear us on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You know, one of the big challenges we have at Stratford is when should we go to e-books? Mm-hmm. You know, because we actually include with the tuition at Stratford all the books. The students don't have to go out and buy books. It's just included in the tuition. We include all the books. And that way a student can show up for class, and on the first day of class they've got their books. But books are getting to be expensive, and so we are considering whether we should provide a laptop and then just do all e-books.
Right.
So the question is, will students accept e-books? Because now I personally like paper.
I do too. But
I mean,
it's kind old
of
men.
Exactly. So it turns out that what I like is not necessarily what our students like. You know.
And so
the question is, we're trying to look at the trends here. And one of the trends that was interesting relating to ebooks is that Amazon announced last week that ebooks are now outselling print books at Amazon. Amazon announced on Thursday that its companies now buy more ebooks for its Kindle device than all print books, both hardcover and paperback combined. Amazon introduced the Kindle e-reader in November 2007. By July 2010, Kindle book sales had surpassed hardcover sales, and 6 months later, Kindle books overtook paperback books to become the most popular format on Amazon.com. Now, that certainly solves the shipping problems. You know, that was always wrong. How you ship these things, you just download them. Now, of course, these stats only represent the sale of books on Amazon, and, of course, Amazon's the only place where you can buy e-books for the Kindle. When sales of books from other websites and brick-and-mortar stores are factored in, e-books still represent only about 20% of all titles. So it's not complete market penetration. Now, consumers wanting to buy e-books electronically can now choose from any competing devices, Sony's Reader, Barnes & Noble Nook, which I happen to like, and a variety of touchscreen tablets, including Apple's iPad, the Apple iPad. So, actually, e-books are getting to be much better. And I think some of the new screens that sort of look like paper, like the Kindle, they've got a display. It's easy to read. It's easy to change the page. And I was talking to some of the people that I know in business, they said they got a Kindle, and they're actually reading more books because it's so convenient. So I do think that e-books, in fact, are going to become dominant. So it's probably not too long till Stratford goes to all e-books, although we are not there yet.
Not quite yet.
We're not quite there yet. But this is a case where things have just changed over the years very, very slowly, and then all of a sudden, they just take off.
Is it cheaper to go that way?
It is cheaper to go. If you go with ebooks, it's actually probably an ebook, you're probably looking at 60% the cost. I mean, you still have the publishing cost, the licensing cost. You're probably looking at 60% of the cost because you don't have printing. Well, listen, we love your emails. Send us email at techtalk@stratford.edu. I'm even checking emails during the show, and we were also checking for phone calls during the show because we were reprimanded just a bit.
We were, yes.
And you want to go to techtalkonline.com. You can sign up for the podcast on Apple iTunes. You can also look at the show outline at techtalkonline.com. See you next week.
And this show will be replayed at 1 p.m. today.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
And you're listening to Federal News Radio. Of course, we've got Nationals baseball coming up on the air beginning at 3:30 today. It's 10 o'clock.
Present the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And please subscribe to my blog at www.blueprintforwealth.org to get the latest on tax, estate, and business planning. And lastly, please read my column, Blueprint for Wealth, in the Washington Business Journal every month, usually the first Friday of every month. We're going to talk about data privacy and protecting your business, the one that you've been trying so hard to build, from cyber attacks, fraud, and other people that are trying to hack in and steal your personal information. Did you know that business is probably one of the most desirable targets of hackers? Fraud can go unnoticed for a much longer period of time. In fact, business losses generally average about $50,000 per incident, and additional business costs associated with correcting that fraud may run up as much as $15,000 in almost half of the cases.